If you are reading from the church Bibles from up the back, they are on pages 1382 and 1613. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?" Then I will tell them plainly, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." And then Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth, "Jesus is Lord," and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Thanks, Cecilia. Well, today we are continuing in our series on tough questions. As I've mentioned a couple of times, this is a bit of a weird series for us. Our usual diet here at church is to sort of pick books of the Bible or passages of the Bible and sort of systematically work our way through them. But occasionally we do sort of do topical talks, which is what we're doing now. And this one is a particularly sort of doctrine, theology, sort of heavy series. And so we've been working through some pretty tough questions. And today we come to the question, can we know that we're saved? There we go. Can we be sure we're saved? And so why don't we pray that we would, that God would help us in answering this question. Father God, we do thank you for your word. Thank you that you are clear with us in it. We ask that as we explore this question together this morning from your word, that you would work in us by your spirit, help us understand your word. Please apply it to our hearts and minds that we would find where assurance of our salvation can be found. And we pray these things for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've been a Christian for a while now, and I'm a minister. And yet there are times in my life that I go through where I actually wonder, am I fooling myself? Am I actually a Christian? These doubts often come when I become particularly conscious of some sin or other, or I go through a patch of particularly sort of spiritual dryness, or I'm feeling particularly guilty before God. And I know that my thoughts and desires and actions, they're sort of out of step with what God wants, and yet I sort of go with them anyway. I think those are the times where my doubts about my own faith really bite. And I can begin to ask myself, am I actually a Christian? Surely if I was a real Christian, I wouldn't still be struggling with this. I wouldn't be feeling so spiritually dry. Have you ever found yourself asking similar questions about your own faith? Am I actually a Christian? If you have, then you're not alone, because I want you to know this, many Christians actually face doubts about their faith from time to time. There's lots of situations that we can find ourselves in, or struggles, or seasons of life that cause us to doubt the genuineness of our faith. And the fact that the Bible talks about people who think they're saved but aren't, who feel confident that they're saved when they're not, like we've just read about, that just compounds the issue for us, doesn't it? We can find ourselves asking ourselves, is that talking about me? And so in the midst of all of that, can we actually know whether we're genuinely saved? Is there some way of answering those doubts in our minds when they arise? In theology, the name of this is assurance. The confidence that we are indeed saved. And it's actually a precious gift of God. Now, it is possible to be saved and not have assurance. But assurance is possible for Christians. And it can be an incredible comfort. It's something that is actually really beautiful to discover when we find it. And so if you would love to discover where assurance can be found, let's look at what the Bible has to say and see if we can't find assurance ourselves. Well, the first thing I want to do, though, the first thing I want to cover this morning is the elephant in the room. I want to start by addressing false assurance, a false confidence that you're saved when in fact you aren't. Because Jesus himself addresses this issue in Matthew 7, which we read just before. Let's read it again together from verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" For many Christians, I think this is a pretty terrifying passage. I don't know if you find that. Particularly when you realize that Lord, Lord is actually a term of closeness. That double naming of someone in the Bible is usually a term of intimacy. And here, Jesus is saying that there will be people who think they've got a relationship with Jesus, who think they're close to him and that they think they've served him and done great things for him. And yet when Jesus returns, he will say to them, "I never knew you." Now notice, it's not saying that they once knew each other and then they sort of slowly drifted apart. Jesus says, "I never knew you." This is a truly terrifying prospect. But Jesus warns us this is possible precisely to cause us to examine our own salvation, to check whether it is actually genuine. Because it's all too possible to have our faith placed in the wrong things, to think we're saved, to think that we're right with God, when we're actually not. So what are some of the things that we can be putting our trust in to save ourselves, which actually can't? Now I want to touch on a couple of the more common ones. Firstly, you might be under the impression that everyone goes to heaven, except maybe the really bad people. This is really common thinking in our society. The idea that a loving God would send anyone to hell, that's actually really unpopular. Yet as Jesus in Matthew 7 makes clear, there will be a clear separation between those who Jesus knows and has saved, and those he hasn't. If you think you're going to heaven because everyone does, you're trusting in something that can't hold your weight. That can't save you, according to the Bible. But secondly, you might be thinking you're saved by your good works, and that as long as your sort of good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, then that's enough. Maybe for you it's the fact that you taught Sunday school back in the day, or you're a regular church attender, or you're a part of a Christian group at uni or at school. Maybe it's that you volunteer, you serve the community, or you give your time and your money to charities. Now, these are all great things to do, right? But if you're trusting that doing those things will be enough to make you acceptable to God, then can I just say you're backing the wrong horse? Because those things can't save you. Because as Romans 3 tells us, they're not good enough. Paul tells us in Romans 3, there is no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who does good, not even one. None of us can be made acceptable to God on the basis of our good deeds. If you think you are, you're in danger of Jesus on that last day saying, I never knew you. Don't put your trust in these false leads. Don't sort of peg your hope on the fact that everyone goes to heaven, or that you just need to sort of rack up enough good deeds to sort of outweigh your bad deeds. If you can just tip over that sort of 50%, you'll be fine. They can't make you right with God. They are false leads. It is all too possible for us to confidently go the exact wrong way. I unfortunately have a bit of experience with this. When I was at uni, I was involved in a Christian students group on campus. And one year we organised to go down to the national training event. That's the national conference down in Canberra. And so a bunch of us students, we got together and organised to fly to Sydney. Then we were going to hire cars, stay in Campbelltown for the night at a church there, and then drive to Canberra the next day. That was sort of our plan, right? And so we flew into Sydney, we hired the car, and I was the driver. But this was the day before Google Maps, if you can imagine such a thing, or if you can remember such a thing. And so we had out our sort of paper maps. And so I sat down with my sort of co-driver, and we sort of worked out, we think, how to get from the airport to Campbelltown. And so we're like, okay, so we make our way out of the airport, and we're on our way, and suddenly I see this giant E in the middle of the lane that I'm on, and because I'm from North Queensland, we don't have those sorts of things. And so I'm like, oh, that's I know what that is. That's a e-toll thing. We don't have one of those. We need to jump off here, despite what my sort of driver was saying. It didn't mean e-toll. It meant expressway. That was the way that we needed to go to get to Campbelltown. And because I was confident that I knew where I was going and had jumped off, I had the most stressful driving experience of my life as this little sort of North Queensland boy had to drive through the middle of the Sydney CBD. It was terrible. But this is what Jesus is warning us against: confidently going the wrong way. Putting our confidence in something that will lead us astray, away from the salvation that he's offered us, the way to actually be right with God. Jesus warns us of this possibility so that we all examine our confidence to stand before God, to see where it lies. If it's in the fact that everyone goes to heaven or that you just need to be good enough, they are false hopes. They can't save you. They are offering you a false assurance. Don't trust them. But you might be thinking, if those things can't give us assurance, what can? Well, that's where I want to turn next. So where can we find true assurance of our salvation? Well, in short, it's found by believing in Jesus, by loving him, and then trying to walk in his ways. That's where we're going. But we'll start with Romans 10, verse 9. This is what Paul says to a bunch of Roman Christians. He says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame." The key to finding genuine assurance in the Christian life is being crystal clear on where your salvation lies and where it originates. It lies in what Christ has accomplished for you, dying and rising again. And it originates not in you, but in God's grace and his mercy to you. It's ultimately not found in us, in our good works or our performance, or even the strength of our faith in Christ. It's all about who we put our faith in, relying on God's grace and his mercy. I think one of the reasons we can lack assurance is that we don't feel like we measure up. And I think we do that when we stop resting in God's grace and His mercy. I think we do that when we slip into finding our assurance in our performance. It's sort of the flip side of the false assurance thing. It's the we think it's our performance that assures us, and yet we feel like we don't measure up, that we're actually falling short of God's standard. But that's not where our salvation rests. Our salvation, our acceptableness before God, is found simply by believing and trusting God's promise that Jesus' death and resurrection is sufficient for God to accept you. If you believe that, if you're willing to bank your eternity on that, then Paul says you're justified. You're right with God. You're saved. That's the place to find assurance. But you might be sitting here this morning going, oh yeah, I believe all that. I believe that Jesus is the one who can save those who believe in Him. I'm just wondering whether I actually do. It's actually at the point of our own belief, our own faith, that our doubts arise. If that's you, it's worth knowing that in the Bible, faith is actually a gift from God. And it's actually something He gives us by His Spirit. And as He does, He actually gives us His Spirit to begin a work in us, to transform us from the inside out, to make us more look more like Jesus. And because of that, when we do have genuine faith, we are filled with the Spirit, and He produces very distinctive fruit in us, inevitable fruit, which we can actually look for in our own lives as evidence of God's work and of the genuineness of our faith. So what are these distinctive fruit? Well, I think John is helpful for us here because he tells us some of them. In 1 John 3, verse 14, he tells us this. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything. Now, John, in this passage, he's trying to urge Christians to love God and obey Him by loving each other. He's saying that love for God and each other is the distinctive fruit of the Spirit's work in us. And he says, when we discover that fruit, when we discover in our heart a love for God and a love for each other, that can actually assure our hearts that we have passed from death to life. Even when we do this imperfectly, right? This isn't saying that we have to be absolutely nailing love for God and love for each other. If we see any love for God, any love for each other, that can actually be evidence of the Spirit's work in us. Because, do you know what? The Spirit doesn't do that work in those who aren't saved. And he gives us great comfort at the end of that passage in verses 19 and 20. Even when we feel underwhelmed, which chances are that we will from time to time, when we try and examine our own love for God and our own love for each other, we'll probably be like, it's pretty measly. But he tells us that if our hearts still condemn us, we can rest knowing that God is greater than our hearts. We can rest in God's grace, knowing that He actually can see even those little fruit, those little buds. We can rest in His patience because He is far more patient with us than we are with ourselves. And so in short, our salvation itself, it rests purely in believing God's promise that Jesus and resurrection makes us right with Him. That's where our salvation rests. But then if we want to be confident that we are saved, if we want to find assurance that we're saved, the ordinary way that God's given us to find assurance is by loving him. Is by trying to live for him. Love each other, because that's the fruit of genuine faith. It's actually when we neglect those things that our assurance falters. It's when we stop reading our Bibles, when our prayer lives waver, when we let things get in the way of us meeting with people here at church. These are the times that we can begin to doubt our salvation. Now, it's a bit like my love of mountain biking. It's actually faltered a bit recently. I've just been absorbed by other hobbies instead. And so I've neglected getting out on my bike. And so there's part of me that sort of kind of feared that maybe I've wasted my money in getting myself a decent mountain bike. Maybe I'm not a genuine mountain biker after all. Because frankly, I just haven't been feeling it recently. Now, if I want to rediscover my love of mountain biking and assure myself that I am actually genuinely a mountain biker, I'm not going to do that by sitting on the couch. I'm going to do it by getting out and doing what a genuine mountain biker does. Investing time in the saddle and on the trails. That's what will assure me that I am a genuine mountain biker. As I said, it's a little bit like that with our faith. It's not quite right, because our faith is actually something that's given to us by God. And there is actually a supernatural thing going on there. But it is true that our assurance of our salvation falters when we stop actively living out our Christian lives. It's when we do things that we know displease God. Once again, I want to be crystal clear. These things don't necessarily jeopardize our salvation. Because our salvation itself rests on what Christ has done for us and believing that and trusting that. But when we don't live that out, that's when we can start to doubt. But for you to be convinced that your trust in Jesus is real, I think it requires living it out. This is where we can actually give ourselves confidence. When we see in ourselves a love for God and a love for his people, we try and live that out in our lives. It's just all of those regular things in the Christian life. Investing time in reading God's word. Spending time pouring your heart out to him in prayer. Coming to church. Being reminded of his promises. And then trying to love our fellow Christians, our brothers and sisters in Christ. By being hospitable and doing life together and sort of ringing each other and texting each other, seeing how each other's are going. When we live out the Christian life, that can actually be pretty distinctive evidence that the Spirit of God is at work in us. And in those moments of doubt, we can actually look to some of those fruit of the Spirit that he's grown in us to assure ourselves that actually we are saved. God's doing a work in me. Like, even though I'm not feeling it, I can actually see his fingerprints on my life, and we can assure ourselves. We can remind ourselves that's evidence that maybe our faith is genuine after all. So to close, to answer our question, yes, we can know that we're saved. Assurance of salvation is possible. Generally, though, it's not perfect. I mean, it's regular for Christians to dip in and out of assurance. There's all sorts of seasons of life that we go through where sometimes we'll be like amazing, sometimes not so much. There are genuine Christians who are saved and yet struggle to believe it, that haven't actually tasted assurance. But it is possible to receive this beautiful gift of God. He's shown us the way. And can I promise you that assurance of your salvation is a sweet thing to possess. So keep believing in Jesus. Keep loving him. and trying to actively live his way as much as you're able. That's the path he's actually given us that can lead us into confidence that we're saved. Well, let's pray that we would walk that path well. Let's pray. Father God, I do thank you for all the ways that you give us to live out our faith. Thank you that when we do, we can see your fingerprints in our lives. We can see the work of your Spirit shaping us, changing us, helping us love you and love those around us. And so, Lord God, we ask that you would strengthen us to walk in those things. Help us keep trusting in Jesus, relying on your grace and mercy, that we might discover true and sweet assurance of our salvation. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.